1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 13 onwards. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established a kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be a commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." It's very important for us to note, whatever God tells us to do, we need to do. Obedience is important. Understand, he is God Almighty. The Lord God is God Almighty. If he is telling us to do something, we should do it. You know, there is no, oh, if, what if, you know, but none of those. We need to really have that reverence for God. And I really pray that God will give that deep reverence in the hearts of God's people, that you will have that reverence to fear God and do whatever God has told you to do, 100%. And obedience is a precursor to the blessing of God. And in this situation, God wanted to bless Saul, so a test was given, and he failed the test miserably. And when God spoke through his prophet to Saul to rectify his situation, Saul did not take the correction in a good way. Saul was not happy when Samuel said, "What you've done is foolish. You've done foolishly." He didn't like it. He wanted to cover up. And God is speaking through Samuel to Saul. And he said, "Look, God would have established a kingdom of Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue." There's a judgment of God that is pronounced over Saul and his generation by prophet Samuel, who first spoke blessing over him. But now when rebellion came, when despising God, despising the presence of God, despising the prophet of God, taking things for granted and doing it his own way, God comes and he takes that blessing of God that God gave for Saul. Now, we are going to continue to see what happened after that. After the word of God came through Samuel to Saul, Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people present with him, about 600 men. Now he is numbering and he is doing whatever he has to do to go to war. Saul is able to go back and function in a normal way, even though he has received this big word from God through Samuel. Samuel knows the force of it. Samuel knows the weight of it. Samuel is grieved in his heart for what Saul has done, but not Saul. Saul is able to just go around, you know, get his people and let me do whatever I want to do, because integrity in his heart was not there. Now, we're going to skip the next section. You can read on your own. That's not what God wants to talk to us today. So we're just going to scroll. We're going to go down. Verse 16, 17, you can read all that happened here. And God uses Jonathan here. And Jonathan defeats the enemy. And we're going to just go to chapter 15. So I'm just going to go here. You see, whatever Saul does, see, because Saul was not in line with the Lord at this point, he makes a rash oath and, you know, he does things, you know, out of his own heart because the discernment was not there, because he was not walking with God. So he was acting spiritual, bringing God's name into the scene. However, God was not with him. Very important. And the prophet of God left him. God left him. Very, very serious. Now, Saul is having wars after that. And the peace that should have been there is not there anymore. Now, in chapter 15, we see here, God gives him another job to do. The first warning came, and the first warning came from God when Saul presumptuously offered the sacrifice, giving into fear, disobeying the command of God, where Samuel should have given that. Saul received a judgment from God through the prophet saying that you are not going to have a kingdom established. It's going to be taken away from you. But you don't see any sincere repentance. There's no genuine sincere repentance from Saul, where Saul is just mourning and praying and saying, "God, forgive me." None of those. Saul just carries on with whatever he was doing. He was just going from one place to another. He was just able to just transition like that as if nothing ever happened. It's a very dangerous place to be in. When delusion comes in, people can be like that. No matter how bad they have sinned, and the prophet comes and exposes their sin, they will just come and blame anyone and everyone except them. They'll say that, I'm fine. We're all fine. And that's a very dangerous place to be in. Now Saul is in such a place where God still has not given up on him, and he's giving him one more opportunity to repent, to change, to fix what he did. And now Saul is receiving a command from God through Samuel here. This is what you call mercy. Another opportunity given by God to Saul by Samuel in order to fix what he did. He disobeyed. He did that which was wrong. Now he has an opportunity to fix what he did. That means to repent and say, Lord, I want to do this time right. But you don't see that happen here, unfortunately. And God wants to speak to us from chapter 15. A couple of days, God had us dwell on chapter 13 to understand where Saul went wrong, so that you keep that in your heart and keep that before you so that you don't make that same mistake. Saul did something wrong, but Saul did not repent. That's worse than what he did. What he did was terrible. That's why the judgment of God came. But now, the grace of God is coming because Samuel is still praying at this point. Samuel did not stop praying because God had not told him to stop praying. And with burden, Samuel is praying. And God is speaking to him, okay, go and tell Saul this. And that's where we are in verse 1 of chapter 15. Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord has sent me to anoint you. The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord. That means there was a purpose with which why God gave you this job. So listen carefully. That's what Samuel is telling Saul. I came and anointed you. Don't forget that. And I'm a prophet over here. Don't forget that. There's a purpose with which why God sent me to anoint you king over Israel. That means you were appointed by God through me. Don't forget that. And so remember what God has called you for. And God gave this command through prophet Samuel to Saul, God's mission for Saul being the king during that point and time. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. It's a very brutal. If someone sees, they'll say, well, God is so brutal. No, I'll show you why he's not. He's slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. If he executes judgment, he is a righteous judge. God has to be a righteous judge. When God executes judgment, no one can stand before the judgment of God. May we never be in that place. God is executing judgment on Amalek. The Amalekites were people who did injustice to the people of Israel when Israel was passing by, you know, after they came out of Egypt. They treated the Israelites very bad. And as a result of that, God takes vengeance on the Amalekites. Understand this. God is a God who will take vengeance on the enemies of God's people, no matter who they are. When they treat them spitefully and do that which is not right before God, God will fight for them. Now that generation was gone, the people were gone, but he is requiring what they did long after many generations during the lifetime of Saul. You see this? God's scripture says, God waited for the cup of iniquity of the Amalekites to be full. Until that cup was full, God was giving chance for the Amalekites. Whatever it was the mercy of God, even to the wicked, God extends. But you know, the wicked, they're wicked. No matter how much mercy God shows, the wickedness comes out, and the cup of wickedness, the cup that they have, the wickedness is accumulated more and more. And when the cup gets full, that's when God shows his judgment, his acts of judgment, you can see. And so at this point in time where Saul became king, the cup was full. And you see later on, I will show you through the scriptures why they were very wicked. These Amalekites were very wicked. Why? Why did God tell them, kill the women, kill the children, kill everybody? Why did God say that? If you look at the way they lived and how God had Samuel execute that king of the Amalekites, you will see why God told Saul to execute everybody there. Utter wickedness there. And I see that when God gives a command to God's people, he's very fair. Never try to be more wise or wiser than God. Never try to be wiser than God. Never try to be more sympathetic or more compassionate than God. We cannot be more sympathetic and more compassionate than God, because he is love himself. He is mercy himself. He is righteousness himself. If he puts a stop to what he has been showing this far, which is compassion, then we have to pull back, because now it's time for God to take justice. He's a just God. Us trying to say that, oh no, I want to be more compassionate than God, is putting ourselves in a very bad place, because we cannot be more compassionate than God. He is the God of compassion. Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Very different than us. Because he can see, God can see, the one who sees the end from the beginning, he sees the hearts of men and the wickedness that are there, that whatever we cannot see. By the way, your judgment can be totally off. See, if a heart is not right, everything that a person sees will be crooked. It's very important for the vision to be right. Vision is wrong, you'll see double. That's because you see everything double, doesn't mean everything's double? No. Because whatever you see is fuzzy, doesn't mean everything's fuzzy? No. Because you have floaters in your eyes and you have lots of spots that you're seeing, doesn't mean that that's all floating in the air? No. You cannot go by what you see. You cannot go by what you hear many times. It is so important to go by what God has told in his word. What is God thinking about a particular subject? What is God, how is God seeing? What is God saying? It is very important for us to look at that and go by that. So when you look over here, God is telling through Samuel to Saul that he needs to do something. Even though he messed up last time, God, by his mercy, he comes to Saul through the prophet and he says, I'm giving you another opportunity to fix that which you did wrong before. It's a different situation, different opportunity, nevertheless an opportunity to fix what you did before. God does that many times in your life too. You might have messed up before. God in his mercy gives you another opportunity. Another opportunity to mend your ways. Another opportunity to set right your life before God. Very important. During this first day of fasting and prayer, understand this before God. It is important for you to set yourself right before God. Whatever you might have done in the past, you need to repent for that and set yourself right before God. God, in his mercy, he comes and he offers a brand new opportunity. And he says, set yourself right before God Almighty. Thus says the Lord of hosts, verse 2, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them. Underline that, do not spare them. Whatever God is telling you to do, just like we heard today morning in the morning call, in your own heart, in your own life, whatever is destructive, whatever is not right before God, don't spare any of those. Destroy the very nature that is anti-God. Whatever stands against God, destroy that from your life, whether it's pride, whether it's uncleanness, whether it's hypocrisy, whether it's jealousy, whether it's anger, bitterness, double down. There are some people that God will bring to me. Their tongue will be like the serpent's tongue. Serpent's tongue. God will say, these are double tongued people. On one hand, they'll talk like they have honey. On the other hand, they'll have a sword coming out to see when they can kill you. There are people like that. Double tongued people. God says, no matter who you are, whatever is in your heart, if it is not of God, God says, it is time for you to destroy that. Destroy the Amalek in your own heart. Destroy the things pertaining to Amalek in your own heart. This is a prophecy God is speaking today. Whatever is in your heart, it's time for you to destroy that which God hates. That which opposes the living God in your heart. Destroy it today. If you don't thoroughly destroy what needs to be destroyed in your heart, then that very thing that you try to hold on to and not destroy will destroy you. Your sin shall find you out. But you know the truth shall set you free. It's a very beautiful thing to truly take the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God, and go against the enemy of your soul until you utterly destroy that. Utterly destroy the Amalek in your own life. Utterly destroy the Amalek in your own life, whatever is there. Take the sword, the word of God, and destroy, mercilessly destroy that which is destroying your very soul. Whatever habit that is, whatever wickedness that is, whatever nature that is, sin nature. Take the sword of the word of God and destroy it. That is your job. Don't say, oh, God will do it for me. God won't do it for me. God is expecting you to do it. God spoke this morning to the morning call. It is God who gives the victory. However, God expects the children of Israel to go town by town, city by city, to fight and overtake every land, the hill country and the plain. It's your job. In order for you to become more like Jesus, God has given you the tools. You use it. In order for you to become more like Jesus, God has given you the word. You read it. In order for you to become more like Jesus, God has given you the time to be on your knees before God. You bend your knees before God and you go before God. You must do what you should do before God. Don't say, somehow I'll be transformed. You will not be transformed somehow. There is a specific way that God has in his word. This is not a magic path. Understand. God's way is very practical. And God's way is very steady. God's way is doable. And God's way comes with a price that you have to pay. If any man would like to come after me, any man would desire to follow me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who seeks to gain it will lose it, Jesus said. It always comes with a cost. You want to have an easy life. I want to follow Jesus, but I don't want to have any pain. I don't want to have any strain. I don't want to have any stress. I don't want to have anything. I just want to have an easy life. Oh, easy life cannot be an easy life if you don't know how to bring your passions under control. If you don't know how to bring those evil nature under control. If you don't know how to or don't want to obey the word of God. You cannot be free, by the way. Only in Christ you can be free. If you deny yourself and pick up the cross, you'll be the most free person in the world because you walk in the path of freedom. But those who choose the path of holding on to sin and sin nature and selfishness and I know what is right and nobody can tell me when I go wrong are the ones who will be trapped by the webs of Satan. Understand this. God is speaking to your heart today. In order to destroy that which you need to destroy in your life, it is you who needs to do that. If you don't do what God has called you to do, then what is going to happen is the very thing that you spare, that you think that, I can live without it. Oh, I can get past this. Oh, you know what? It'll take time, but sometime or someday, somehow, I will get to that state. And right now, it's not an issue. It's a non-issue. It doesn't, you know, come up every day. Once in a while, this happens. Once in a while, it comes. And so I'm just going to not worry about it. You know what? That once in a while serpent will sting you. It will sting you. Remember, God is speaking to their hearts today. God gave Saul a job to do, which was destroy the Amalekites. utterly destroy everything they have. Now why? Because they did evil in the sight of God. Now you look at Amalekites. Amalekites were people, you know, who were part of the people, you know, in the land of the heathen, where all those things were there. And these people were part of those people who did evil in the sight of God. They committed sin with animals. They committed sin with one another. They did all kinds of wickedness, and the whole land was polluted. Anytime God tells somebody to destroy even the animals that are there, because all those were polluted. God is not an unjust God to say, oh, go kill the animals. No. Just because a heathen has an animal, God is going to go kill them? No. When the land is polluted, you just go back and see the sins that these people, the Canaanites, did. And the Lord will say, not to do the sins that the Canaanites did, and he will actually spell everything out. What they did with their own siblings, what they did with their own mothers, what they did with their own fathers, what they did with their own flesh and blood, what they did with their own animals. What do you think? God wiped them all out. God just didn't take the children of Israel and say, oh, I'll give you a good land and so you destroy all the good people there. No, God will never do that. God will never do that. God will never say, I want to give you this property, so I'm going to wipe the rest of the people out. No, he will never do that. They were so wicked, and the land couldn't tolerate them, and it vomited them out because of their wickedness. And God told the people of Israel, you, I'm taking you there. You better not do that, otherwise the land will vomit you out too. These were the Amalekites here. These Amalekites were not destroyed by the Israelites there. Now they're here. They're still alive. They're still doing wickedness. And this king, who made many mothers childless, God is giving Saul a command. Kill all the children. Kill all the women there. Kill everything that is there. Kill even the animals that is there. Kill everything that is there. I don't want anything. Don't even bring anything, because all those are cursed. God gives a very specific command. When God tells us to do something, it is very important for us to do it. I'll give you the scriptures for it some other time. Very important. Understand this. If God tells you to do something, do it thoroughly. Don't do a half job. It's better not to do that at all then. It's better to say, Lord, I'm not doing it, and get the consequence for that. That'll be a fool who will do that to begin with. But don't do partial things, because you'll be a fool equal to that fool, even a worse fool. So you try to play both worlds. Never do that. Be hot or be cold. Don't be lukewarm, God said, because he will spew such people out. If you're hot, he will keep you. If you're cold, you have nothing to do. God won't even bring in you. But if you're in the middle, he will vomit you out. Very important. Take this word of God very, very seriously. God is speaking to your heart today. Take it very seriously. Very seriously. Very seriously. The Spirit of God is here in our midst. And God is speaking things with a very intent of driving certain points that the Holy Spirit has into your spirit, so that whatever is in your life that is an abomination to God, that is like that Amalekites, God wants you to utterly destroy it out of your life. Any affinity you may have with sin, any relationship you may have with wickedness, God is speaking to your heart today. Be merciless to Satan. Be merciless to evil practices, because it will mercilessly destroy you and take you to hell. God gave his command. He said, sheep, camel, donkey, all those things. Wipe them out. So Saul gathered and the people together, and gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. If you read God's word, you will see how God shows mercy to those who are merciful. Jesus said that in Matthew 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And these people, the Kenites, showed mercy to the children of Israel. And God is showing mercy here. Because you cannot touch the innocent one, you see. So God is sparing them. And the target is the wicked. Now, and Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. So what did he do? He took the king, Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and he destroyed the rest of the people. All the people were gone. He destroyed the women, he destroyed the children, he destroyed everything, but he took the king. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lamb, and all that was good, and were unwilling to destroy them. Who? Saul and who else? His people. You see that? A lot of time, the people are a reflection of the king as a whole. And the people were greedy, just like Saul. They didn't want to destroy the best of the animals, so to speak, what they thought was best, when they were all polluted and defiled. They spared all of them, and God said, destroy everything. Many people are like that. If God tells do something, destroy that, throw that out, oh, you know what, I wish I can keep them, and I'll keep this, and I'll, you know, try to secretly do this. Who are you trying to fool? Yourself or God? You cannot fool God. If God is telling you to do something, it is for your own good. Understand, whatever God is telling you to do, it is for your own good. God was telling these people to do something, it was for their own good. But there was a devious deviation that took place here. That he took the king and he took the best of the animals because he was greedy for them. The people were greedy for them. And he was power hungry. He wanted to bring the king and keep in front of him to show how powerful Saul was. Who gave the victory? God. Who gave the assignment? God. And what did God say? Destroy everybody. But he wanted to show his ego, his power. He brought Agag with him alive. And the best of the cursed things that God said. Don't even touch them. Destroy them utterly. May God help us never to be in that place where Saul was. What Samuel said was not important to him. He went to war. However, he did not do what God told him to do. Never do that. Never try to do things partially and try to say that, oh, I did it. When God would say, you didn't do it. You did it your own way with a devious heart. And I'm not in it. So instead of a blessing, a curse will come. Understand? Anytime you partially do things and do it in a devious way, not only will the Lord not bless you, but a curse will come upon you. Because it's God's word that you disobey. It's God's word that you twist. It's God's word that you despise. What did he destroy? Everything despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed. Is that what God said? No. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. Very, 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 very important scripture. I will tell you, highlight, underline, do whatever you need to do. People may think, why should I highlight this verse? This is not like a promise. This is not a promise. But you know what? This is a verse that will keep you from falling. God says, this man was following me. This man was following me once upon a time. Something went wrong with this fellow. All of a sudden, he's not following me like how he used to. His heart has turned away from me. We should never be found in that place. Never be found in that place. We are reading from 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we're reading verse 10 now. 1 Samuel 15 from verse 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, the prophet, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king. This portion I have spoken about this before. How people say God is not disappointed in you. God knows when you fall already. So God sees already. So don't worry when you sin. That's an abomination to God. It's Lucifer's words. Because God is not expecting you to sin. God is trusting you and he is looking forward to seeing you succeed, not fall. God trusted Adam when he gave him that command. Don't touch that tree, Adam. Don't touch that fruit, Adam. God said it with passion and with love in his heart. When God made human beings, he made it with passion in his heart. But it came to a point where God said, oh, why did I even make these people? Every thought in their mind is wicked. God regretted making human beings, the Bible says, in the days of Noah. God saw Saul and he said, Saul, you will be a good king because Saul, you are humble. You don't want to be in the forefront. You are hiding. You are humble. You are faithful. You are true. Even when his donkey was gone, he went to the prophet. He went to the prophet Samuel there. Someone who sought the will of God. God saw him out of all the people in Israel. God saw Saul and he made him king over Israel. When Saul was little in his own eyes, you know, body was big. He was tall. But in his heart, he knew he was very small. In his eyes, he was small. In Saul's eyes, Saul was small before God made him king. But God chose him and God put him in that throne. He put him on the throne. And he said, you shall be the king, Saul. And who anointed him? God used Samuel to anoint him. He was following God. But what happened? I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me. Don't let anyone say that, oh, Saul never followed God. No. Saul turned back from following God. A very sad verse in the Bible. Or someone who was following God. How did he turn back? How did he turn back? Where did he turn to? And God help us never to turn back from following God. What was so enticing? What caught his attention? Me. The big me. I. And Satan enticed him with the applause that would come from men. That applause would cause him to feel like he's somebody. All of a sudden, what God says doesn't matter anymore. What people want matters because vote for me. May God help us. God made him the king, not the people. How did he lose his focus? How did he lose his sight? How did he miss God? God brought him to the palace, not the people. Why will he try to please the people? That's where he went off track. Fear of man bringeth a snare, the Bible says. Anytime we try to please the person, anytime we are so afraid and we want to please, it becomes a snare. May God speak to our hearts today. Never give yourself over to the lie of the enemy. Fear. Never give yourself over to the trap of the enemy, which is called fear. Never give yourself over to the trap of the enemy, which is called applause. Human appreciation is a snare. God must appreciate. God placed you there. God has to appreciate you because when God places a person there, then he's accountable to God. When a person forgets that it's God who placed me there. And they forget that they need to be accountable to God. It's God who brought me here. And they start to keep their eyes on man. then at that point, they've started going away from the living God. Understand this. It is God who lifts a person up and puts one down, the Bible says. So it's important to keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what did he do? He turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. See, turning back from God equals disobeying him. Anytime you disobey, what are you doing? You're turning away from God. When he's telling you to do something and you do something else, you're turning away from the living God. That's what Jonah did. God told him to go to Nineveh and he went to Tarshish. He walked away from the will of God. And a lot of disasters waited for him in the meantime. Don't disobey God. There's a blessing in obeying God. Why would we even want to disobey him? Why? Why in the world would someone want to not love God? Doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand. Why in the world would someone not want to spend time with God? Doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it. I really don't. Why would somebody want to be unfaithful to God? I don't get it. Why? Why? He is so loving. He is so faithful. He is so pure. He is so holy. He is so gentle. He is so just. He has a big heart and he overflows with love. He showers his gifts upon us. Why would we not want to just give ourselves away into his hands? Why would we want to hold back? Why would we not want to be faithful to him? Why would we not want to give up the trivial things? Don't throw away Christ for something trivial and something that's distasteful and disgusting. He is the treasure. He's the real treasure. Jesus Christ is a real treasure. Keep your eyes on him. Saul lost focus. He was following God. He understood, oh, God was the one who made me the king. God was the one who brought me here. So I am going to follow God. And he obeyed God, but somewhere along the lines, he took his eyes off of God and placed his eyes on people. How many people like me? What will they think about me? What will my family say? What will my friends say? What will my relatives say? What will people on Facebook say? What will people on, you know, social media say? What will people? Snare. People become the snare. That's one thing God has put in our heart. I can say just burnt it deep within our hearts. We don't live for people. We don't commit ourselves to anyone, period. We're here to serve God, live for Christ, and die for Christ, then be gone. Do what God has called us to do 100% and leave the scene when he wants us to. It's very important. The fear of man, or trying to please man, or what will they think? What will they think? Who cares what anyone thinks? Who are they? They can live today and die tomorrow. Their glory and their title, whatever it is like the flower of the field. It's there today and gone tomorrow. Whoever it is, who cares? I care about what my Father in heaven thinks about me. I care about what he will tell, what he thinks about me. I really care about if I'm making him happy. Is his heart happy? I really care about what he is asking me to do. I really care about what he would want for me to accomplish for him. That's my heart. That's my passion. The moment that turns towards, oh, what he thinks, what they think, what will they think, what will they think? Oh, if I don't this, then we won't get that. A lot of ministries fall flat because of the snare called people and the snare and the demon that's called funding. God help them. God help us. Never to go there. God's work. God will move people. God will speak to raven. God will speak to people to come and give. God's ministry is not a ministry that'll go and beg or ask. No. God leads his work. God provides. This is God's work. Whoever God would move, whoever wants to be blessed, God will move them to give. It's never the other way around. That is the work of God. Everything else will be a snare. By the grace of God, there is something that has not touched us, and we will not allow that to touch us by the grace of God. God has not called us to do this work for that. God has called us to serve Him, and we stand before Him. Each and everyone in our church should be the same way. Stand before God, not for man, not for man's applause, not for what favor you can get. If we get any favor at the expense of God, that will become a curse, remember. Any bonus, any money that will come at the expense of standing up for the truth will become a curse. If we sell the truth for something, some physical gain from truth, for some earthly gain, that gain will become a curse. Let God be true. Whatever He says is truth. His ways are forever true. We're going to finish in a few minutes. What happens here? And has not performed my commandments. Once God revealed what Saul did to Samuel. Oh, what a headache for Samuel. That's what happens to true shepherds of God. When God reveals that this sheep has gone astray, has gotten into delusion. Oh, what a headache for the pastors. In grief, a headache. They have to go before God and fast and pray and weep before God so that God would spare that sheep. Don't put yourself in that place. Don't, because there will be a point, just like in Saul's life, God will tell the servants of God, get out of the way, enough. Don't pray anymore. I'm done with this person. We have to never take advantage of the grace of God. Never. Never take advantage of the grace of God. Always be thankful for the blood of Jesus. Every drop of that sinless, priceless blood of Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary was shed because He loved us, because of His mercy. Don't take advantage of that. Now, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel is praying all night because even though Saul was wicked, God's love was there in Samuel's heart. Samuel was on his knees before God, crying out to Him all night. Imagine that. He left his sleep. He sacrificed. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't believe that this man would do this kind of a thing to God. Such an important command God gave, and look what He did. And God already told him, just like how Moses, when he was in the presence of God, to get the Ten Commandments for these people, where God is saying, you shall have no other gods before Me. And these people over there down there already with the golden calf dancing around and in wickedness. And God is telling Moses, Moses, look at those people. Look what they've done. Imagine how Moses fought, just like how Samuel fought. There's something that true servants of God go through. Grief. Grief. Sometimes it happens. Spiritual death takes place in the family of God, where sometimes you lose people, like how Jesus lost Judas. God lost Saul over here. But we pray that doesn't happen in our church. That no one, having received so much of the truth of God, will become so presumptuous and go into delusion that they leave the living God. Be very careful. Be faithful to God in everything, whether it's small or big or in between, whatever. Be faithful to God. Whatever God has told you to do, do it with everything that is within you. Don't ever open your mouth and say, I did it all, Lord, if you've not done everything thoroughly. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. Wonderful. Terrific. You see that? Horrible. That's what sin would do. Do something treacherous and then take pride in that. Oh, I did something. I accomplished it. What did he accomplish? Disobeying God? Is that what he accomplished instead of a monument for himself? This is what Lucifer will do. Disobedience and a big head, not a pride. I am somebody. Look what I did, all the victories that I've got. Look what I did. Now, God could have struck him right there, but he did not. God gives people time and space. He gave him an opportunity to destroy everything. he even had an opportunity to destroy Agag, the king, up until the minute that Samuel came. He could have done that, but he chose not to. In his heart, I'm not going to destroy Agag. I'm going to keep him in front of me. I'm going to show what a big shot I am. God gave him the victory for a purpose so that he can destroy everything. The victory came from God. We forgot. Presumptuous. Proud. Disobedient. Caused grief to God's heart, and the reflection of that was Samuel's heart. As the true servants of God's heart, it'll reflect the heart of God. It'll reflect the anger of God. It's a mirror. The heart of God reflected in the hearts of the true servants of God. You'll see a reflection there. Samuel cried all night and he prayed. After God spoke to him, look Samuel, look what this Saul has done. That's how grieved God was. But Saul over here, no remorse. And he went and set up a monument for himself, and he has gone around, passed by and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the command of the Lord. I've seen a lot of people like that. They will do treacherous things. When you call them, you know, they'll say, oh, glory, hallelujah. I've done wonderful things for the Lord. Who are they fooling? Who are they kidding? May God up them. Very dangerous, very dangerous, very dangerous, very dangerous. How dare Saul would do this in front of Samuel? Did he forget that when he lost his donkeys, it was God who revealed to Samuel what happened to those donkeys? Did he forget that it was God who appointed Saul through Samuel? He forgot that God would reveal everything? He even forgot what happened just a little while ago with the sacrifice that he did. With every disobedience, understand your heart will get harder and harder and harder. It's a very bad place to be in. Presumptuous sin will take you deeper and deeper and deeper into the prison of sin. Be very careful. It's important for you to repent as soon as you know that you have sinned. I'm not telling you presumptuous is sin and repent. No. If you do something that you don't know and God prompts you and God brings before you saying that what you did was wrong, repent immediately. Immediately. Presumptuous sin shouldn't be in the life of any believer. You do something unknowingly that you forgot, and you did something you were not aware, and God is bringing to you, repent immediately. Don't let sin linger in you even for another second. Look at the presumption here. Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the command of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears? And the lowing of the oxen, which I hear. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now the Bible says very clearly, Saul and his people, look what Saul is saying. Oh, they did that. I was not part of that. They did that. Well, did God see that when it was happening? Yes, God saw that. But they did that. What is he doing? Not taking responsibility for his actions. It cost him. We're going to see the rest of it tomorrow. But for now, God wants me to close right here. Understand your relationship with the Lord. Understand your walk with God. When God tells you to do something, take it very seriously and do it. Never think that, oh, I can do half, and I can tell God that I did everything. And if God says, you didn't do everything, oh, I did that because they didn't do it. Oh, they did that because, you know, they didn't do it, and I couldn't do it because of them and everywhere else other than your own heart. That's the worst thing you can do for yourself, is to try to blame others. May God speak to your hearts today. There are a few important points God has spoken from this section. May you lay hold of everything. Never lose sight of God who bought you with his blood and who brought you out of Egypt. who saved you and who made you his own. Never lose sight of him. Never look for applause and appreciation that will come from family, friends, and, you know, whoever out there in the world. And sell Jesus Christ in exchange for that. Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. What are you selling Jesus Christ for? What are you selling Jesus Christ for? Ask yourself that question. Don't say, oh, I can't believe Judas did that. I can't believe that Joseph's brother did that. Well, what are you doing? How faithful are you to God? What are you doing? What are you selling Jesus Christ for? You answer that. What are you selling Jesus Christ for? What is that one thing that you want to hold on to and sell Christ for? Your job, your time, whatever. You answer that question. Saul followed God during a particular point in his life where he was faithful and God was the most important thing. Putting God first was the most important thing. But what happened to him now? He's saying that he's still putting God first, but is he really? He's telling the prophet, oh, everything is well. I'm doing spiritually fine. But was he? Before God, was he? No. And the prophet had to confront him. Did he take that confrontation well? Is what God is going to show us tomorrow. But today, hardening of the hearts can happen in stages and in degrees. Every time you disobey, every time your heart will get colder, harder, more difficult for you to get back to your first love. And God is looking to your heart today and he's saying, get back to your first love before I come, before I quickly come and remove your candlestick away from you. It's in Revelation chapter 2. Yes, he is slow to anger. But he is slow to anger. He will get angry. When he gets, we cannot stand before him. When he's slow to anger, don't take advantage of his slowness. Because he's plenteous in mercy, don't take advantage of his mercy. That's why you have Deuteronomy 28, where you have the blessings of God. And then you have the curses of God. You look at the curses of God, you will not want to have any of those in your life. It shows the true side of God. Love and justice. Yes, plenteous in mercy. But when he judges, no one can stand before him. When his patience runs out, no one can drink the cup of wrath of God. His cup of wrath, no one can taste that. So, as God is speaking to your hearts today, be true in your walk with God. Be true in your walk with God. God has been speaking to us on delusion for the past couple of months. God has been speaking to us on what is sacred and how to keep it sacred. God has been speaking to us on the things of God, and to be very careful when it comes to things of God. You touch the holy things of God with unholy hands. It's setting yourself up for a disaster. Be very careful. Never play games in the presence of God. Honor the presence of God. When you are pointed, or when something in your life is pointed out, and when you are pointed out to be wrong yourself through the servants of God, God has appointed over you. Be quick to listen and repent. Don't rebel. Don't try to cover up and try to play smart. That's the dumbest thing one can do. Set yourself up for doomsday. Don't do that. God, out of his mercy, will come and confront you. Have his servants to confront you. That's what God did with Samuel. He sent him, go see, talk to him. But Saul was very dishonest, hard-hearted. He thought Samuel was a fool. See, anytime someone is about to receive a curse from God, they will act smart and be haughty and rebellious. That's what happened to Gehazi. He thought Prophet Elisha was a fool. He inherited leprosy, and his entire generation inherited leprosy. And that's not to the third or fourth generation. The curse from God through Elisha was leprosy will cling to you and your household forever. It's a very terrible judgment of God that came upon him. And for Saul too. All his children died. He died. It didn't happen the next day. It doesn't mean that what Samuel didn't say didn't come to pass. It came to pass. It came to pass actually after Samuel died. Nevertheless, it came to pass. Samuel died in peace and went to be with God, but till the day Saul died, he was living a miserable life. He died on the inside. Saul was gone on the inside. He lived as a tormented man till the day he died. Was he living as a king? No, he had the crown, he had the gown, he had everything, he had the throne, but what's the use? Was he the same Saul that God put him there? No. God has taken his kingdom away from him already. And he gave given it to David, whom he anointed. David didn't have a crown, he didn't have a gown, he didn't have anything. But wherever he went, the kingdom of God went with him. The anointing of God was upon his head. God's favor was everywhere. And in God's time, God gave him the crown and God gave him the royal robe. God gave him everything he needed and he put him there. But even without that, he was still a king before God. That's all that matters. We have one life to live. Learn to put God first in your life. Learn to have that utmost reverence for God Almighty. Learn to reverence his presence. Learn to reverence the work of God. Learn to have reverence for the anointing of God and the servants of God. Very, very important. Don't be casual towards the things of God. Don't. When the word of God comes to you from the mouth of God to your heart, especially through the people of God, God has placed over your life, take it and you shall live. If it is rebuke, take it and you shall live because it is good for you. That's why God gives it to you. Don't let pride, self-pity, and foolishness keep you from your own blessing. Shall we close our eyes and look to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Is Jesus important to you? If so, how important is he? Is his word important to you? If so, how important is his word to you? What kind of a discomfort are you willing to go through? What kind of persecution are you willing to face? How honest are you before the Lord Most High? What are you willing to sacrifice in order to gain the price of the pearl of great price? Thank you, Jesus. What are you willing to lose in order to gain Christ? We got to lose something. What are you willing to lose? If you lose your life for my sake, you will gain. Jesus said, what are you willing to lose in this life? Has God called you to lose something? Has God called you to sacrifice something? Has God called you to lay down something in order to gain Christ? Do it. Do it. That's what wisdom will dictate. Do it. Use your free time to spend time in the presence of God. Use your life to glorify Jesus Christ. Be about the Father's business. This life will come to an end very soon. Before we know, it'll be over. Game will be over. But if you're serious about Jesus Christ, and if you're serious about pursuing Christ, if you're serious about living for Christ, if you're serious about being dead to this world, and this world dead to you, and being alive to Christ, then God will be serious about using you, blessing you, keeping you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time that you're given. Thank you for your presence that is here. Thank you for this first day of fasting and prayer that you have brought us into, where you're preparing your church and leading them to a deeper sanctification. And may they choose you over everything. May they learn to obey you in all things. May they not sell you, Lord, for anything. To disobey the commands of God is to disregard the voice of God. Thank you, Jesus. To disobey the commands of God is to disregard the voice of God, God himself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Father, that you will continue to cover your people under your precious blood. As you've spoken to them, Lord, whatever area that you are pointing out at this hour, may they truly repent and fix that which they need to fix, as you're giving them another opportunity to do it right this time. May they do it right this time. Not be like Saul, squander even the opportunity that God gave them to do it right. I pray, may the fear of the Lord be upon your people. That every haughty, arrogant spirit be brought down low. May your people, Lord, be keen on taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and destroy everything that you have told them to destroy in their lives. All the works of the flesh be destroyed in their lives, O God. Let no one give excuse for their bad behavior. I pray, may your people be keen on loving you with all their hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and loving their neighbor is how you love them. Remove every hypocrisy out of their lives, O God. All those who are here today, take some time in the presence of God. Examine your heart before God. And tell the Lord, purge me, purge me, purge me, Jesus. Thoroughly purge me, Jesus. Tell the Lord, wherever you are, tell the Lord. Purge me, Jesus. Thank you for giving me another chance. I don't want to squander this, Lord. I don't want to squander this, Lord. Open your mouth. Wherever you are, say it. You don't have to unmute it. Wherever you are, you cry out to God at this hour. Tell the Lord, Lord, you've given me another chance to fix it, to do it right. Lord, I don't want to squander this opportunity. I want to do it right. I don't want to have an unrepentant heart. I want to repent. And I want to do it right. I don't want to disobey you and harden my heart and put myself in a place of no repentance. I don't want it, Lord Jesus. Tell the Lord right now. Tell the Lord right now. As the Holy Spirit is helping you at this hour, tell the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Let every stubbornness be removed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you will work your word in the lives of your people at this hour, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Tell the Lord, forgive me for taking the presence of God lightly, treating the anointing of God cheaply, treating the servants of God cheaply. Open your mouth and say, wherever you have failed, open your mouth and ask God for forgiveness. Without that, there's no going forward. No going forward. Every step of disobedience will cause you spiritual decline. Will cause you to decline spiritually and cost your spiritual life. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Judas sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. You don't sell Jesus for anything. Don't sell Jesus for anything. If you have sold Jesus for whatever it is, vainglory, pride, ambition, family unity, whatever it is, God is speaking to your heart today. Don't be another Judas. Don't be another Judas. Don't say, oh, I love God, and give a Judas kiss. And give Judas praise. And give Judas worship. And give Judas tithes and offering. Don't be deceitful in your heart and give Judas's kiss. to Jesus. If you're deceitful in your heart, whatever you're doing for the Lord will be like what Judas did to Jesus. Repent at this hour. God is giving you an opportunity to repent. Repent as God's servant standing in the presence of God. As the Holy Spirit is moving me to speak. I'm speaking word for word what the Spirit of the Lord wants me to speak. And this word will be your judge. God will hold you accountable by this very word that God is giving you at this hour. So take it seriously and repent before God. Wherever repentance is necessary, repent before God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God has come to you. And God has given you the opportunity to do it right this time. Whatever God is telling you to do it, whatever God is telling you to do, do it with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that you will continue to minister to your people the word that you have spoken, which is life to your people. May that living word of God continue to minister to their hearts. Draw them ever closer to you. Thank you for working in the hearts of your people today during this first day of fasting and prayer. You can continue to purify, Lord, purify your people. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do great and mighty things, O Lord, in the days to come. As we purge ourselves all the more in your presence, I ask you, Father, that you will reveal your glory all the more in the days to come. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this day. Once again, giving us this opportunity in an unexpected manner to join together to seek your holy face. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and bless us with his peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit rest and remain with us all now and until we see Jesus face to face. Amen. Amen. Good Jesus.